Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Friday.
Here's John Williams.
Whoop, whoop. Not many Fridays left in the summer. What, two? This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Let's make the most of this weekend, shall we? We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, I'm here weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays. I'll be here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with a nice group of folks. 10 a.m. to noon. You can also catch the show on the social media platforms. We are WGN King John. WGN King John. By the way, Aleph, when do you think that video that you made is going to be up on our site today?
Hopefully soon.
Remember that interview we did with Joey Santor? There's that viral video out there of a guy with a Chicago accent, and he's helping a stray coyote in the tall grasses of California. The thing's a scraggly animal, and it was viewed 7 million times because it's weird to see a guy with a deep city Chicago accent helping a stray coyote in the tall grass of California. And it's really sweet how he finds this stray emaciated animal and tries to render some assistance to it. So we took the video that he posted, which has been viewed 7 million times, and we put our radio interview on top of it and reposted it so you can hear him talking to us about it as you watch that video, maybe for the second time, maybe for the first. And it's very interesting the way that story ends. So Aleph cut it all up and put it back together again. And it's going to be posted to WGNradio.com and on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. It is, as we say, loading. So as soon as it gets up there, we'll let you know about that. We also, just speaking of the social media platforms, posted to WGNradio.com and on my Facebook page, our daily news click. Yesterday, we tackled the hard-hitting subject, Sean Spicer is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. A, I'm more likely to watch now, 7%. B, I'm less likely to watch now, 41%. And C, I'm as likely to watch as before, 53%. So for most of you, almost exactly half of you, it's not going to change. You either are or aren't going to watch. You either were or weren't going to watch. 41% of though you said that you're less likely to watch now, but you said that. You're going to watch. Who are we kidding? You love that show. The sparkly dresses, the bare-chested men, you're going to watch that. And 7% of you are going to dial in specifically to watch The Spice Man. My only prediction about it all is that he's going to do better than he is as a dancer. He's going to be on there longer than he should be. Whenever a group comes in with a core constituency, those people will vote for them regardless of their ability to dance. That's just what happens. So a favorite country star or longtime favorite TV star, especially if their bio video is touching, they're going to get more votes than maybe they should.
Is this going to be...
No, I'm not.
What?
No, go ahead. Finish that.
Is this all about them trying to make us like Sean Spicer again? Or?
Well, I don't know who the they is in that. It's certainly...
Spicer's people?
I think it's Sean Spicer trying to make you like Sean Spicer all over again.
Tom Bergeron's people?
Listen, I've been following the market. You have too. Steve will continue to report on it throughout the day. The market closes the day at 3. We've been trading most of the late morning and early afternoon down 500 on the Dow.
Yeah, the president, when he did his hereby shall tweet about American businesses, the Dow dropped 400 points.
He said he is hereby ordering American businesses to find someplace else to do business rather than China.
I think it was to start thinking about it.
Affirmative.
Yeah.
Yeah, pardon me if I've overstated.
He didn't order them out of Beijing.
Well, that's because he doesn't have the ability to do
it. He doesn't have the ability to do any of it, though.
Well, so hereby order is, to me, the operative words in that. You can't hereby order a cheeseburger. I mean, that's about all you can order. Even the president can pretty much only order a cheeseburger. This is America. You have broad powers as a president, more now than ever in the history of the office, but you can't tell businesses that they can't do business in China.
Well, no, but you can in extreme circumstances. Yeah, if it's an enemy like North Korea or, you know, something like that, you can say you cannot do business there. Iran.
We can even broadly interpret, are they involved in military contracts and therefore it's in national defense interests? And that's kind of an expansive view of the president's role right now. Go ahead, Steve. I cut you off.
No. There are cases where you can, but this is not one of them.
They say it's going to hurt Ford Motor Company, Mercedes-Benz, BMW. There's another car company in there, too. Who was it? There's several cars.
It was Matchbox.
Well, there's a lot of people that make cars here. And export a lot of them to China. But now with the tariff of 5% to 10% that China is going to impose on those car companies are either going to sell less or charge more. But either way, it's going to put pressure on production in the United States.
And in the tweets this morning, he said he would have more to say this afternoon.
Yeah, so I kind of wondered about that.
I don't know what comes next here.
Yeah. We'll continue to follow that. We'll visit with an economics reporter a little after 1:30. Speaking of drinking milk right out of the carton, I was contemplating doing that the other day, and I was doing this as I did it. I looked to the left, and I looked to the right to see if my wife is anywhere nearby, because I know she wouldn't approve of that, and why would she? But it got me to think about things that you and I do that we don't tell our spouses about or that we do when they're not around. Now, I know there's a whole host of dirty, nasty, awful stuff that you can think of, but I'm not thinking of all of that stuff. I'm just thinking about those little things you do. Elif, I don't know if you can play in this reindeer game. Lauren Lapka, you don't have a significant other that you're looking over your shoulder about.
No, but there are things that...
I guess roommates would apply, too.
I don't have a roommate either, but things like maybe if I have recently eaten and I really want to pick something out of my teeth... I would never want to do that in front of somebody, but, you know, if they're not around.
When you've been married long enough, you'll do that.
I was actually watching Sex and the City the other day, and in this episode, they were talking about exactly that thing. And one of them said, I like to put Vaseline on my hands and put dish gloves over them and just sit and watch
HGTV or...
No, the Home Shopping Channel. Uh-huh. And then the other one said, I stare at my pores in the close-up mirror for an hour.
Right. That's something you don't do maybe when your spouse is around. I'm also... maybe because you're embarrassed by that, or the things I'm thinking about are also things that you know they would disapprove of, right? Some guys still pee in the shower.
That's so gross. I don't get how people do that. I just don't.
They do. And
it dirties the tub.
They don't tell their spouses about it, and they sure don't do it when, say, the spouse is around. I was looking this up online, and another thing that a lot of spouses do that they don't tell their spouse about is they use the credit card. Now, that eventually comes home to roost, but that's maybe not surprising. Some people, even as adults, eat candy or sweets when their spouse isn't around, either because they don't want to tempt them or they know they don't want them doing it. So you go ahead and you have your jujubes now when your spouse isn't around. You eat or drink something you know you would not have had were they to be present.
It is funny to witness things like that with my parents, for example. If my dad gets like a bowl of ice cream, the look that just... It's not like anything super mean, but it says enough from my mom, like looking at him eating ice cream. So I can imagine that people do want to eat in comfort.
I know, right. And so, but if your spouse wasn't there, by golly, you go for the mint chip right now.
Extra whipped cream.
Binge watch TV shows is also on the list because the both of you are watching this series. And if you've expressed ahead, you've watched 3 or 4 episodes, then they sit down. What do you do? And they don't want to make you watch them all over again, but doggone it, why did you go ahead and watch those whole episodes now? Because I'm behind. So now what are we going to do? This is a conversation people have in modern America. Binge-watching shows. I saw this online, too. Some spouses will go ahead and make plans with, say, another couple or for them to do something and then not really tell their significant other about it, because they know they wouldn't entirely be on board. But then if a few days beforehand say, hey, remember, we're going out with the Bertrands, Go, oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We made plans with the Bertrands. Well, now it's too late to get out of it, and so now you're in it. So you go ahead and make those plans without fully discussing it. It's kind of a veto-proof way to do things. It's been said online. They didn't mention specifically the Bertrands, I should note. I'm just wondering if there's anything else like that. You know, and of course, a lot of them are, well, I slept with my son's baseball coach. Oh, no, wait, that was somebody else. But that was Larry King's wife. Larry King's wife had an affair with their young son's baseball coach, which is, I'm just doing the math on all of that. I'm guessing the baseball coach, how old are Little League baseball coaches? They're usually the parents of Little League kids, so they're 40. And she was in her probably mid-50s, and Larry, of course, is 85. So that's the way all those lined up. But anyway, if you want to text to or call 312-981-7200, I'd be interested in that. Anything else that's on that list, something that you do or your spouse does when the other person's not around?
I volunteer with several charities.
I go to church. I do household chores. Actually, listen to this. I don't do the laundry very well. I throw in everything together. Like, I just do two loads, whites and anything with color. Brenda's meticulous about that. When Brenda's away, I will sometimes do laundry my way because I can get a lot more done. And I just wanted, I don't know, I always got to keep busy. I think, oh, I'll do a load of laundry. If Brenda was watching me do laundry the way I do laundry, I know there'd be a look. There'd be intervention. And I don't especially want that. I just want to, do laundry. So I will sometimes do laundry and not tell her in ways that I don't think she would approve. And that usually catches up with me because something will be off color or a little moldy, and that's my magic touch. I said, things you do that you don't tell your spouse or that you know your spouse wouldn't want you to do. Nancy said, hey, John, it's not just the guys who pee in the shower. I'm female. I do it every morning. It's not dirty, as urine is not dirty, and it's not gross. Judge much? And not
well,
only
there you have it.
Not only did that person give their phone number, they gave their full name. That's standing up for your beliefs. 630 also texted. Here's another one. I let the cats on the kitchen counter. My husband hates it. Quick, get off. Here he comes. Get off the counter. My husband's coming. I totally understand that one. John, another 630-er. I feed the dog scraps from my plate when my husband's not around. 224, been a Republican for over 50 years. I totally agree that the president can't order people to do things. And 815, speaking of Sean Spicer, said I'd rather watch Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. This is funny. John, 630, you guys, 630's in a bad way today. I watched an episode of Jeopardy before my husband comes home. Then we watch it together on the DVR. Oh. I got so many questions right. He was so impressed with my knowledge.
Wow.
Good for you, hon. John, I have a weekend alone this weekend, and I'm going to eat what I like, and my husband doesn't, and I'm going to watch some guilty pleasure movies. John's laundry spiel says 630. He does it the way he likes to do it if his wife's not looking. And the intervention comment cracked me up because that is so true. John, there are two kinds of people, says 708 in the world, those who pee in the shower and liars. And 219 said, John, I've been married 35 years and I have not one time ever passed gas in front of her. But when she's gone, just a few more you can text in, 312-981-7200. So China said today that they would impose tariffs on another $75 billion worth of U.S. goods. Responding to that, the president said he is hereby ordering companies to begin looking for alternatives to doing business with China. The Wall Street Journal today notes that the president said China has, quote, stolen our intellectual property at a rate of hundreds of billions of dollars a year, and they want to continue. I won't let that happen, exclamation point. We don't need China. and frankly, we'd be far better off without them, close quotes. Mr. Trump's comments came in response to China's plan laid out today to impose 5 and 10% tariffs on almost all of the remaining U.S. imports on which it is yet to impose punitive taxes. That includes vehicles and car parts. The president is imploring U.S. companies operating there to, quote, come home. Now companies, says the Journal, are considering a move out of China. Now, they also continue with, quote, some major car companies will be hit by this increase in tariffs, particularly Tesla. That's the one I was thinking of. Ford, BMW, and Mercedes. They build a significant number of vehicles in the U.S. for export to China, and a higher tariff could force them to raise prices. One other point. The chairman of the Federal Reserve is Jerome Powell. He was appointed by President Trump. And the president said Mr. Powell said the uncertainty of our trade policy is what's hurting the markets. So the president tweeted today, who is a bigger enemy, Jay Powell, the man he appointed, or Chairman Xi? Peter Navarro, who is the director of trade and manufacturing policy for the U.S., said adding tariffs to $75 billion is not something for the stock market to worry about when compared with the $21 trillion U.S. economy. That's something other experts have told us on this show this week. We're currently off 527 points. The Dow is at 25.7 right now. So we're at 25.7 right now. A month ago, we were 27.3. But we've been on a pretty good run for all of the indices, right? Christmas Eve last year, the Dow was at 21.7. And when the president took office, we were below 17.
What was the Dow at 823.18?
823.18 a year ago to date?
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Because we're doing well year to date, but only because we tanked in December. I think year over year we're...
Well, December was terrible. It was right. Below 22.
Right. So, but I think year over year we're even or maybe even a little below.
I've been stretching out the graphs to see what the trends have been, and it's bad today, it's bad this month, blah, blah, blah. But it depends on how you want to look at it. If you want to say when Donald Trump got elected and inaugurated, it's been pretty much a steady, zigzaggy climb, despite ourselves, right?
No. Well, I don't know. I'd like to see the numbers of it. It certainly has been up.
We've gone from 22 to 27.
It went up pretty dramatically.
That's uphill.
Yeah, I know, but for the first 2 years, I'm telling you, for the last 12 months, I don't think it has been.
That's a good point. I'm pretty sure, I bet you we're even. All right, Elif.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, you should have said that on the radio.
I'll try to use my words next time.
Elif, just look up what the Dow was at this day 1 year ago. Meantime, let's talk to, Anakin Tappy from CNN? Welcome to the show, Anakin. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
That's the chit-chat we're engaged in. You want to jump in there? Anything you'd like to add to that conversation?
You're quite right that if you look at the year-over-year, the change is not that big on the Dow. It's pretty much flat, as is the S&P 500, which is obviously a broader gauge of the stock market. But since the beginning of the year, as you guys also pointed out, there's still a lot of gains there. This has not been the worst day of the year by far. So as dramatic as it is not, you know, it's not as bad as it has been. And I'm not really sure if that's what exactly that tells us about this day, but that's the judgment we make over it.
That's the problem, isn't it? I think too many people like me, we just say, well, the Dow, and that's not even the best index. And really, what do those indices mean compared to the things that really matter to people, which are they going to have a job, and what's a car or a cell phone going to cost, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the stock market won't tell you that, right? Straight up, we can obviously say that the labor market in the U.S. has been very, very healthy, and people are generally employed. The unemployment rate is very, very low, and that's a good thing. And that's kind of been one of those arguments that people have been using to say clearly things aren't as bad as you know, like some people are painting the picture, because otherwise the labor market wouldn't look so healthy. So like that's definitely an important thing to keep in mind. But sure, like you were saying, with tariffs on a lot of imported goods, there's a big question of how much are companies going to eat in terms of the additional costs, and how much are they going to pass down to consumers? And nowadays, basically, the supply chains of companies are just so globalized and so integrated that it's very hard for anybody to for consumer goods to kind of be entirely shielded from something like this.
Anakin Tappy's on the line, CNN business reporter. So what's happened today? What is happening today, Anakin?
General fear, a little bit. So the day started quite good, because sort of ahead of the all eyes were on Jerome Powell's speech at Jackson Hole. That's sort of how the day started. And then China retaliated and came out with its new tariffs, and sort of it sort of went downhill from there. It's been a very volatile day for stocks. And as you were mentioning, we're down more than 500 points now on the Dow, and that's 2% for reference. And clearly there's a general fear in the market. The volatility index, the CBOE VIX, is up 25%, clearly indicating that all this uncertainty is not well received by investors, because the question is, what's going to happen next? What's the U.S. reaction going to be? Earlier, President Trump tweeted that there would be an announcement this afternoon, which hasn't happened yet, but we don't know what that's going to be. And so it's that kind of uncertainty that, are we going back into sort of the tit for tat where every day there's going to be another headline that sort of sways the market one way or the other? We've been kind of, you know, that there were a few weeks where that wasn't the case at all, but we've definitely had a few of those weeks. If you think back up to May, everything was kind of driven by that.
Well, you said if we think back to May.
Yeah, back in the month of May, there were a lot of trade headlines, and they really kind of impacted the market going up and down. And it was all over the place because there was just so much uncertainty. And basically, every time a headline came out, sort of stocks would either rally or drop, depending on it. So basically, as an investor, you would look at it thinking, okay, what does this mean for fundamentals? There's just so much uncertainty that you can almost not really make a decision.
Well, that has been problematic for the administration lately. If you look at any of the things that are on their plate, even Greenland, for crying out loud, but background checks for gun owners, are we going to have them? Are we not going to have them? And we've had diametrically opposite views from the president and his staff in the last 7 days. It's just been zigzagging. And there's no real metric to judge that by other than you notice it. But there is one when it happens with economics, and that is what these markets do. But if I can insulate myself from buying a car or a video game in the next week or two, maybe it's just a paper loss. But it is that right now, isn't it? That is, I haven't, but I am fortunate enough to have a 401k, and I'll bet if I look today, I would see that I've lost money, right? I mean, anybody that's got money in the market has, in theory, lost 2% of their value today, correct?
Well, if they have all of it in the Dow, then yes, that is correct. Yeah, I mean, you're quite right. Everybody has a stake in the stock market, or not everyone, I should say, but people who, like you said, are as fortunate to have a 401k, they have a stake in the stock market because a lot of that money will be invested there. That said, obviously, a retirement investment is very, very long term. And so a bad day, a bad month, even a bad year, even a bad, right, like a bad longer period is not going to, in the end, mean that you shouldn't invest that way. So you shouldn't worry about your 401k today, I think.
Yeah, no kidding. And I wonder what I should worry about. Like, can you put this in a box for us? How problematic is a brewing trade war with China? Is this something we can wither, or is it something that really could have long-term lasting consequences for us?
I mean, it's definitely something that clearly the market and economists and central bankers and regular people like you and me are worrying about, because it would clearly have an impact. And one of the big fears about this is that we're not entirely sure what this impact would look like. On the one hand, we can say, there's been a lot of claims made about how much it would impact the Chinese economy and how much it would impact our economy. But at the end of the day, we're not there yet. We don't actually really know. And the other thing is that economic data that obviously central bankers look at a lot before making their policy decisions is a little bit lagging. So basically, after something happens, it takes a while for this to show up in the data. So we don't really know yet what the sort of the things that have happened already, how much they have impacted the economy. We can't really see that. I mean, if there were, there's been a few data points out of China that have been linked to some of the tariffs. But like I said, it's sort of a little bit early days still, even though it seems like this has been going on for ages.
Let me give you one other impression that I have and tell me how rooted in reality this is. I do think the president is fighting the good fight. He might not be fighting it the best way, but I don't like the fact that China steals our intellectual property or puts presets on it that they can capture intellectual property. That doesn't seem right or fair. I do believe they manipulate currency, though I understand they're not doing that now. I don't think it's a level playing field when we try and do business with China. And we've just always sort of tried to talk our way through it, and we take our lumps. That's the United States. We've been a punching bag on these issues. So the president is saying, guess what? I have a higher threshold for pain than any president before. This guy doesn't care. And I also think China doesn't care. When did China especially care what the population thinks? So I do think we're in a game of chicken here that's going to go on for a while. But I do think that the president is playing hardball with the right partner. I'm just not sure if he's executing it properly. But there is something afoot here. He is trying to do good. That's the end of my long observation. What do you make of all of that?
And like you said, there have been a lot of people saying that intellectual property is the core issue and is sort of what it's all about. I will say that the U.S. economy and the Chinese economy, which, mind you, are the two largest economies in the world, are very, very integrated with each other and tremendously important for the global economy, as obviously that makes sense, given their sizes. And so the sort of fallout from this, the worst case scenario, if you will, if we even dare imagining, could be so unbelievably severe that that's basically the reason you see the market reacting the way it does. Mm-hmm. It's sort of the fear of the worst case, because it could just have such consequences across the board. And you have that at a time that the global economy is already slowing, right? The Chinese economy was already slowing, which you can argue that it's because it's becoming more mature, which means that it shouldn't grow at the pace that it has been growing over the last 10 years. But still, all these things are sort of happening at the same time. They're happening at the same time that Europe is having a growth issue and that Brexit is still not resolved. Sort of all of this is happening at once, and having the two largest players be in this fight with each other, it's just making things a lot worse. And yeah, that's really the issue as I see it.
Sure. So in other words, not just Ford and the United States are in this, but Brazil is in this. France and Germany are in this. Japan is in this.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got a stake in this. And we could really grind down the world economy, and then ain't nobody going to be buying nothing, right?
Pretty much.
You can quote me on that if you want in your next report on CNN. And according to one source, ain't nobody going to be buying nothing. Anakin Tappy is a CNN business reporter. Thanks for your time today, Anakin. I appreciate your expertise.
Thanks for having me.
Dave, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, sir?
Yeah, you were talking about the economy and business, but basically my opinion for today is to take these launch codes away from the left job in office right now. That's pretty much all I got to say.
Take the launch codes away from the president?
Yes.
Lest
this guy can't make up his mind from day to day. I mean, just you look at everything for the last 2 years. It's time to take that responsibility. Well, it's not even his responsibility. It just endangers the entire world.
I appreciate your listening. Thanks for the call, Dave.
Okay.
Have a good day. Yay, John, says 309. Finally, exclamation point. China cheats. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Yeah, I said it. 708. Isn't China fighting the Hong Kong protesters on their inside, and now Trump is ratcheting it up on the outside? Maybe China will self-destruct, said 708. 309 said, trade helps both countries. Duh. Read up on economics, Mr. Williams. The law of comparative advantage is a good start. Allocate resources to the highest and best use. E.g., a lawyer, that would be example. I'm almost sure that's what that means. A lawyer does not type her own memos, even if a better typist than the secretary. Thank you for that. Not sure what all that means. So what about the Dow? Doesn't really help at least half of Americans that aren't in the stocks. Fair enough. I mean, I think that's a point that gets lost on a lot of us, including the president, right? He was at a lot of his rallies earlier in the year saying, how are you liking your 401k now? And somebody whispered into his ear, sir, they don't have 401ks. But a rising Dow is better than a falling Dow. I mean, right? So it's not the perfect metric, and the conditions lag, but it's at least telling you something. John, biggest enemy to the American people, the president said that his own chairman of the Fed may be a bigger enemy to the American people than the premier of China, who we're now in a trade war with. He appointed that guy. By the way, the administration is now looking at rotating that chair position to the other governors on the Federal Reserve. So this guy has it for, I don't know, a few months, and then somebody else has it, so that one person's policy doesn't override the entire institution and economy.
Can they do that?
I don't know.
I mean, I thought the board president, Fed chair is approved by the Senate or confirmed by the Senate.
I did too.
And he's not making the decisions. It's a vote.
It was close, though. I mean, it was not unanimous.
But stop. You're saying they're fixing it so that one person doesn't control it. It's not one person controlling it.
Yeah,
they vote on the interest rates.
Speaking of the powers the president does or doesn't have, the administration is also looking at ending birthright citizenship. The president's described people who jump across the border, have a baby, then jump back across the border. But since the baby was born in the United States, that child is now a U.S. citizen. And the president thinks that's crazy. Maybe you do too, right? So a foreign-born person in this country who has a child in this country on terra firma, that child is a U.S. citizen. It could be a dual citizen, but it is a U.S. citizen. The president says that's crazy, and they're going to stop it. Kamala Harris tweeted that, along with a reference to the U.S. Constitution, which says that the Constitution says that people born here are citizens. You may not like it, but that's what the Constitution says. You can try and change the Constitution, but that's what it says.
Even if you hereby order them?
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Yep.
Here's John Williams.
The Living. This is John in the Skyline Studios, overlooking about as nice a day and nice a weekend as you're going to have in Chicago.
Lord have mercy.
So enjoy. Remember, the Bright Side of Life segment comes your way in about 30 minutes. We do it on Fridays. You'll call in. Tell us some good news in your world, something large or small. It's just a little group hug. We do it on the radio every Friday, and it sounds cheesy, doesn't it? But I'll tell you, it's not as cheesy as that movie, Blinded by the Light, and it works every single time. By the way, Bertrand, have you seen Blinded by the Light yet?
Maybe this weekend.
Okay, go see that.
You didn't like it, right?
It's easily the worst movie I've ever seen.
Shut up.
And
it is not.
Everybody I know says it's one of the best movies they've ever seen. It is the most divisive thing I think my wife and I have ever watched.
Okay, so now maybe if I tell you not to watch Yesterday, you'll go see it? Is that the point?
Steve's been pining for a conversation with anybody about Yesterday, the Beatles movie.
The best movie nobody has seen.
Exactly. And I actually said to Brenda, was it the Music Box or the Davis? And it wasn't playing near us, so we didn't go see it. I don't think I can see it on demand right now or anything like that. I really want to see it, Steve. I just haven't got off my butt to do it. So I will. And then we'll talk about it and you'll tell us why you cried.
It's too late now.
Moment really is kind of gone, isn't it?
Right.
Saturday, October 12th. Please circle that on your calendar. Saturday, October 12th. That's not that far away. At 10:30 in the morning at Elgin Community College, Teddy Saves America is our next presidential conversation show. Yes, I'll be talking to Teddy Roosevelt, the President of the United States. In fact, he and I will talk a little bit more about the show we're going to do on this program Monday. But these conversations with the presidents, we do Roosevelt and we do Jefferson, and we kind of alternate. The next one will be with Teddy Roosevelt. And where Jefferson is thoughtful and brilliant and very dry and funny, the Roosevelt show is bombastic and brilliant and adventurous and hilarious. I've been reading a whole book about his charge up San Juan Hill, about his crowded hour. And it's fascinating how when the Maine sunk in Cuba, Americans were so pining for a war, they were begging the president to please, let's just go to war with Spain. And when we finally did, even beforehand, thousands and thousands of American men across the country were quitting school and Wall Street jobs. They were doing anything they could, begging their congressmen to let them go fight. The Spanish had machine guns in Cuba, and Americans could not wait to stand in front of them. And nobody more so than Roosevelt. His adventures in Cuba are an amazing story, to say nothing of what he did in the Badlands, and to say nothing about his running this country for a couple of terms and his attempt to be a three-term president. It's a very interesting conversation. And I wonder what TR would say about DT. I wonder what he would say about how we're doing today, as well as tell us stories about that back then. Saturday, October 12th at 10:30 in the morning, you will enjoy this show. It's Teddy Saves America. Now, tickets go on sale, Producer Elif, tomorrow. The phone number to call, let me just turn a couple pages, and then I'm going to get to my guest, who's patiently sitting right here, is not in front of me. I got 62 pages and I don't see it. I will give you the phone number to call in just a few minutes. It's going to be at Elgin Community College, and the tickets will be available at the box office. Is that you, Elif?
Yeah.
What do you got?
847-622-0300.
Hold on, I'm writing that down. 847-622. Keep going.
0300.
It's sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. 847-622-0300. You can visit their box office in person or online. Elgin Community College's Blizzard Theater. 214. Ray Kaplan, a friend of ours who you've heard on the show many times, is in the studio. Hi, Ray.
Hello.
You should come to our show.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
That sounds very interesting.
It's an education, and who wants to get an education? It's fun. It's just hilarious. You will not have seen anything like it. Even if you've seen the Jefferson Show, this one is amazing. Did you know this? Roosevelt, when he was giving a speech in, I want to say, Milwaukee, survived an assassination attempt.
I did not.
A guy came up, pointed a gun at him, shot him point blank. He had his speech folded up in his chest pocket, and he had a little tin of that he put his glasses in.
Uh-huh.
The bullet went through all of the folded over pages of his speech. It's like 50 pages, and the glass tin, and penetrated his chest muscles, but it didn't puncture his heart or lungs. So he's got a flesh wound,
uh-huh.
And he's able to survive it. They go, oh my God, he's bleeding badly. He goes, hold it. This is a moment. If I give the speech now, they are really going to be impressed. And he gave an hour-long speech.
Unbelievable.
Then he gives his campaign speech for an hour. And at the end of the speech, he's getting a little weary. They go, dude, you've got to go to the hospital. He says, okay, fine, but you're not carrying me, and I'm going to walk, because he was very proud. And very robust. And he walks in and survives that.
Tough guy.
This is crazy stuff. Okay. We asked you to come into the studio today because the current president has announced or signed, I think, a very interesting piece of legislation.
Right. He signed an executive order that basically allows veterans who are disabled as a result of their service to get complete total forgiveness of any federal student loans that they have. So currently, only about 20% of eligible veterans have actually applied for and received the discharge of their federal loans under this particular statute that allows for veterans to get that kind of forgiveness. And because the application process was kind of cumbersome, you know, as it usually is, he decided to just really streamline it, and it's going to be much faster and easier to get approved.
So what he's done isn't create new forgiveness, but streamline the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Only 20% of veterans. In other words, men and women are paying on loans right now. They don't have to.
Right.
80% right. of them.
80% of them. And, you know, for some of the veterans, too, who are really struggling financially, especially if they have illnesses that make it impossible for them to work, they're eligible under this veterans forgiveness or general TPD discharge. But it all kind of falls under the same statute, but this one is going to be expedited and much easier to get. So if you're a veteran and you were disabled as a result of your service, then it'll be a very fast process to get your federal loans completely forgiven. And it's not taxed as income.
Which some forgiveness programs do.
Well, mostly if you get private sector loan forgiveness, then you are going to get it taxed on
so
that.
So if somehow you got $100,000 of debt eliminated, you would pay probably $25,000 because somebody had to come up with that money. You've, in essence, received income to pay off your loan.
Right. The IRS would view that as income.
So there's no free lunch, but still, that's not bad. But in this case, how disabled do you have to be?
Well, the disability, the statute says that you have to be so disabled that you can't work. But it's that is a little bit of a gray area, but we can clear it up by basically the Veterans Association will give you something showing that, in their opinion, you can't work, and so you're eligible for it.
Because if I was a carpenter, I could see if I was physically disabled as a result of my service, it would be difficult to climb a roof and pound nails. But they might say, well, you could be a switchboard operator. You could, you know.
Oh, no, that's not. The statute is much more forgiving than that. Hmm. Just if you have a disability and the disability is a result of your service, it doesn't say that the disability, you know, means that you can not do any type of work, just that you can't do the type of work that you wanted to do.
So it's for the service that you were engaged in. So if I come home and have a car crash, that doesn't count.
Right, that doesn't count because that's not service related.
And I suppose some of these can be a little gray too. If I have PTSD or lingering effects from something that later made impossible for me to do my work, I suppose those are negotiated things too.
That might be a little bit less clear, but he has made it clear, at least in the executive order, that basically TPD discharges for veterans are pretty much going to fly through.
And these are for federal loans.
Right.
So I wonder what a typical scenario would be. Are we talking about a young man or woman, 25, 30 years old, who was serving in Afghanistan or something like that?
Usually. But here's the interesting thing, too, is that let's say that that person came home from serving our country and then later became a parent and took out federal Parent Plus loans. Those loans would also be eligible for forgiveness and discharge. So let's say you took out loans once you got married and had kids and you took out federal loans to finance your kids' education. You can also get rid of those.
So this is work for a Vietnam veteran.
Yes.
Not just somebody who's recently returned.
Right, exactly. So young people and older generations as well.
Is anybody paying off federal student loans anymore? Because the last time you were here, you said that you had a Parent Plus loan, and it was a federal loan, and you were on SSI or SSD, mm-hmm. if you were a Social Security recipient, those loans would be forgiven.
Right, that's correct. We actually just had a client that I saw very recently, within the last 2 days, and we just got rid of $130,000 in federal loans for him because he's SSD.
Well, I know somebody who, I won't say the name because I actually don't know the direct name of the person, but I know the friend of the friend who said that somebody went to you and they had $200,000 in student debt similarly forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this interview that I don't say these things, Ray. I can't believe that anybody has that much debt. I just feel bad about that.
Right.
And I also marvel at the fact that there is a path to forgiveness on this.
There usually is. I mean, it really depends, but most of the time, if you have federal loans, there is either a very manageable way to pay them back or a way to get rid of them altogether.
Federal loans, right. Not private loans.
Correct.
What percentage of college loans would you say are which?
I think the last time I looked at that, it was about 60-40 federal.
Really?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember what kind of loan I took out. It wasn't much because I went to junior college for 2 years. I didn't have to start borrowing money to go to school until I was a junior, and I went to an inexpensive state school. So I didn't. I think I graduated with $5,000 in debt, mm-hmm. and I made $50 or $100 payments a month for, I think it was 50, for about 5 years, and then I was out of hock. And I don't remember if it would have been a federal or a student loan or a private loan.
The private loans are definitely trickier. There are less options, but even still, we do have options and things, little tricks that we have that we can use to get those loans either wiped out or okay. knocked down.
My number is 312-981-7200. Ray usually gets a few calls and texts when she gets here, so jump in line real quick. We'll pause. Will you take more questions from our listeners?
Sure, be happy to.
Maybe you fall into the two categories we've just described, or maybe there's some other student debt question you have. Here's your chance to get some expert advice. The president has signed an executive order streamlining the debt forgiveness process for disabled veterans if they have a federal student loan. Is it complete forgiveness, Ray?
Complete and total forgiveness, and it's expedited. So it used to be kind of a burdensome process. The application process, the review process was all a little bit difficult to navigate, and now it's just been very much streamlined. And he apparently, the goal of the executive order is to get as many veterans as possible to just get complete and total forgiveness of their federal loans, just to unburden them.
If you want advice on how to do this, you can do it on your own, but if you want some advice or help, I'll give you the phone number one more time after a couple quick calls. Tom, jump in there. You're on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Advice on how to do this?
Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'd like to find out. I'm a probation officer for Cook County, and my son is a police officer. If there's a chance of getting student loans reduced or eliminated.
How much debt does he have? How much student loan?
About $100,000.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's in the public sector. Does he work full-time as a police officer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Then he's going to be eligible for public sector loan forgiveness, but it's very important that he's in the right payment plan, and we can definitely help him with that because it's all about compliance with the statute. You probably saw articles in the New York Times about people applying for public sector loan forgiveness and being declined. But if you do it the right way, which just means you're in compliance with the statute, then after a certain number of payments, even if those payments are very, very low, which they will be, then the balance is forgiven. So it doesn't even matter if interest accrues, all of it will be wiped out.
How long has he been paying on these, Tom?
3 years.
So, yeah, it should be after another 7 years. But we can probably lower his payment because generally when you call the servicer directly to work out a payment with them, they give you the highest payment available so that you pay off your loans as quickly as possible. But under the statute, he only has to pay 10% of his gross disposable earnings. And then after he makes those payments for 120 months, then the balance will be wiped out.
Can I ask, Tom, what's the monthly payment you guys are paying or he is paying?
Oh, it's up around $1,200 a month, all total.
He's in a standard repayment plan, which they're trying to get him to pay off his loans as quickly as possible. And he's probably eligible for a far, far lower monthly payment.
What would you guess he could have it reduced to?
Well, so I would need to know his income, just a ballpark, what his gross income is, if you don't mind.
Probably $65,000-$70,000.
So his payment should probably be around $400 a month or so.
Okay. He will be contacting you then. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, Tom. Thanks for the call. And time for one more. Elif, maybe Dawn, you're on WGN. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much. I guess my question really did get answered by the previous caller because I, too, have a son who is a police officer with debt, and we were wondering if there was any programs other than the 120 months of continuous payment that he could apply for. But I guess that is the answer that I was looking for.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The main thing is just to make sure that he's not paying too much in terms of those monthly payments. Those monthly payments should be very, very low. And the take-home message about those payments should really be about 10% of his gross disposable income every month. So for a family of his size. So we'll take everything into consideration should in terms of children and how many family members he has. But we can generally lower those payments quite a bit.
I'll give the phone number in a second. Lynn, jump in here. Thank you, Dawn. Lynn, you're on WGN. What was your situation or question?
Yes, I'm not a teacher or a veteran or a firefighter. So will the layman person be able to reduce some loans? I have two parent plus loans.
For how much?
They're each about $30,000.
Are you anywhere close to retirement?
I am 64.
Okay, so when you retire, then we'll be able to drop your payment down significantly to also about 10%, and then you might be eligible for to have no payments for a while and then to have the balance discharged.
So I have to wait till what age then?
Well, so really it's a question of when you retire. Yeah. So if you wanted to retire soon, then we could get it done for you.
What do you mean by retire? When you take Social Security or when you retire?
Either one. Because there are
those
programs.
Can be different things.
Right. So if you're retiring and you're not receiving Social Security, then we can just drop your payment down very significantly.
Because your income is off.
Right. And then get you forgiveness after a certain number of months, depending. But then if you have something that makes it hard for you to work, let's say even some ailment, then we can get them discharged altogether. So there are a lot of options we could take a look at for you.
Lynn, thank you for the call. Okay, the phone number for your office is 312-294-8989. The website is financialrelief.com.
Whenever Ray is on, I feel like she's like a telepsychic.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you were getting bits and bits of information of the callers, and then she's solving the problems of the world with them.
I heard a psychic on the radio the other day, and I think we're solving more problems here than the psychic was.
She might be causing more problems.
Okay, 312.
294-8989.
Thank you, Ray Kaplan. Nice to see you.
Great to see you, too. Don't drink coffee, I take tea, my dear. I like my toast on one side. You can hear it in my accent when I talk. I'm an Englishman in New York.
I can tell who this is, but I don't think I've heard this song before. What are you doing, Ella?
Well,
she loves this.
This is Sting, and he's going to be playing Ravinia tonight. So it's sold out, sorry. But he's so good, and this is a great excuse to play him on the air right now.
CBS on Sunday ran a piece about him. They were doing the show from Florence. I guess he has a estate in Florence with his very chill wife. And
you can work there.
They walk around the walnut groves. You can work there?
Yeah, it's one of those, I can't think of the name of it now, but there in Italy there are these villas, and they're actually working farms, and you can stay there and work on the farm, and then that's how you earn your room and board.
The way they tell the story is that some of these places have fallen into disrepair, and then along comes a wealthy guy like Sting, and he renovates the place and makes it beautiful, and it's a working farm. I didn't think about who's doing the farming.
Right.
It could be Elif and I.
Right.
Lapka, you want to come along?
Yeah, why not? Wait, before she does. Sting has a daughter named Elliot Sumner, and she is also a wonderful singer who sounds just like Sting.
What?
Really?
I met her. We hugged. I have a picture.
When did you do that, Ella?
Like 3 years ago.
I love Sting, but it's funny because it still reminds me of date night for my parents when I was a small child.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Every time they were going out, this, like, one of his CDs would be on.
Oh, this was their sort of get ready for
date
night? Yeah,
get ready to go out.
Background chill music. Well, I hope that doesn't ruin Sting or dating for you as a result.
No, I still enjoy it. Because, I mean, it was the weekend for me, so I was still having a good time. It's just a babysitter, you know?
Ravinia, swing on by. You won't be able to get in. Chicago Tribune's Food Bowl is tonight. In fact, it's on right now through Sunday.
I'm on my way.
I think you'll see the Bertrands if you go. It takes place now through Sunday, 11 to 10 on the Chicago Riverwalk. Lots of food, lots of music. They've opened up a kind of outdoor food and fun market over by Wolf Point, which is the confluence of the north and south branch of the river on the very western edge of downtown. And if you want to find out more, foodbowlchicago.com.
The Chicago Triathlon is this weekend. I don't know if you knew that, John, but
I've seen the sign.
Good, because there's going to be a lot of closures for it.
By the way, may I insert, are you rooting for that little 14-year-old boy who has no arms and is going to compete in this thing?
I had seen something and I didn't know he was actually competing. That's awesome. Of course I will be.
He's going to swim. He's going to run. He worries that when he runs, that if he falls, he doesn't have arms to break his fall. He just said, I'll do the tuck and roll. He wants to be the kicker on his high school football team, and I guess he can kick. He is an inspirational young man, and now I'm not doing him the favor of giving you his name. Elif will grab it for us, but
the triathlon. So the big run is Sunday morning, but Saturday they have the super sprints in what they're calling Lifetime Kids Tri Chicago, so I think like a kids run. So there's things pretty much throughout the weekend, but the big, big race is Sunday, which will close the southbound side of Lakeshore Drive. So,
Jazz on the Lake happens one more time tonight at Navy Pier at the Lake Stage in Polk Brothers Park. They've got some nice little venues there. It's at 6:30 tonight, Navy Pier, 6:30 tonight. It's free. Also, Jazzin' at the Shed you can do Wednesday nights. And that's jazz music on the lawn at the Shed Aquarium, and that's lovely, too.
Mm-hmm. Lagunitas Beer Circus, Saturday, 12 to 5. It's a $40 ticket, but it's burlesque, sideshow acts, aerialists, marching band, midway games. I don't know what midway games are, but sounds fun.
What's this called again?
Lagunitas Beer Circus. So, you know, Lagunitas Brewing.
Ah, Lagunitas.
Mm-hmm.
Bucktown Arts Festival tomorrow and Sunday, 11 to 7. Another one of the neighborhood festivals from Holstein Park. Entry is free. And also in Oak Park, the Scoville Park location, they're having an arts and crafts show tomorrow, 11 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 5.
There's also the Skokie Backlot Bash, so live music, a carnival, beer tent, food vendors, free classic films. And on Saturday, there's a 5K and kids run and a classic auto show on Sunday. So it's today, 6 to 10, tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 10, and Sunday starts at 7:30 in the morning. So pretty much all weekend.
Wizard World, but you already knew that, at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center's this weekend. Cost you $34 to get in for a day, more if you go every day. And the Hold Steady's at Talia Hall tomorrow at 8, $40 to go see Hold Steady in town.
By the way, John Travolta will be at Wizard World.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Just because he's a star? I mean, what's his connection?
Well, they have a bunch of different celebrities that are, you know, either kind of pushing a new movie or they're significant characters in, you know, a sci-fi movie or something that, you know, that kind of crowd.
He does have a new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, do you know much about that?
I've
Did he talk about
things.
That with Ro? Yeah.
It's a movie.
The Fanatic?
He's like a crazy fan of a celebrity and
oh.
becomes very creepy and stalkerish.
Well, I suppose, what's that? Like Elif. I suppose he can relate to that in a way. By the way, Cubs play the Nats at home tomorrow, 1:20. They are playing right now, I guess, or I don't know if that game's over. White Sox play the Rangers at home, 7:10. Andy Mazur with the pregame at 6:40 tonight. And the Bears are on the road against the Colts at 6 tomorrow. I printed out, and I don't have with me now, the... Oh, shoot, Elif, we need to get Northwestern football. Look up Northwestern football. The Big
Ten... It should be a week away.
I think this weekend college football starts.
It starts, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But is Northwestern playing this weekend?
I don't think so, and I...
No.
A lot of the teams
Thank
are
you,
not.
Jeff. So they play next weekend. But thanks for the heads up on that. But a lot of college football this weekend.
I can't wait.
Any last ones from you?
Well, there's also Cornfest in DeKalb, so that's all weekend. There's Villa Palooza, that's in Little Village, Saturday and Sunday. And, I mean, I have a long list, but those are two big ones.
Hey, let's do this. I'll take a break. You call right now or text 312-981-7200. Hey, Mr. Poe, are we going to do this on Facebook? Well, good. On the WGN Radio's Facebook page or the John Williams? Like WGN King John on Facebook, and you will be able to see us in the studio, and we might just read your Facebook bright side post. You can also text or call right now, 312-981-7200. The bright side is next.
Always look on the bright side of life.
He's better.
He's so much better.
Yes, you know, you put in the effort, you notice the... Yeah.
If life seems
Let that be a lesson to you youngsters out there.
I'm embarrassed to even try anymore because every time I've done it, it's awful.
Keep grinding, kids.
10,000 hours. What did Malcolm Gladwell tell us?
That's right.
If you want to be expert, you've got to make the effort. Here we go now. Everybody sing. Or call or text 312-981-7200. We'll give some of you Bright Side of Life pins, courtesy of our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. Big League pins makes them. They're really swell. Why don't you start reading this time?
I can do that, and I'll give you three short ones. How about that? So we have 217. My bright side is our chickens laid their first eggs today. 773 says they just closed on their first official home. And 847 says their daughter is expecting her second baby.
Oh, congrats to them. That's a big weekend. By the way, Mr. Whistleman, you got a bright side you want to share?
Bonfire tonight, golf tomorrow, baseball Sunday. It's a great weekend to be alive.
How about you, Lauren Lapka?
I'm very excited that I'm less than a month away from my sister getting married.
Always look on.
Hey, Kim Gordon in the newsroom looking all newsy over there. You got time to play Brightside?
Always. My mom actually sat up for the first time after major back surgery today.
Oh, that's the rehab is a big deal.
Yes,
My
it
best
is.
To you and to her. How about
when
that?
When you're feeling in the dumps.
Can I just throw out a what a great weather weekend we're going to have?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You may not have much more than that. That's a lot.
Always look on the bright side of life.
All right, let's get started here on the phones. Joan, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Joan?
I went to the Joint Relief Institute this morning. My knees are already feeling better.
You don't have to do that. But thank you. I'm glad. Oh, Joan, that's so nice. How about Beth? You're on WGN. Beth, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
Hi, King John. This is Beth, Kathy, and Joe. We're calling in from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We're having fabulous weather. We're the cousin and godparents of Kirsten, who designed the Bright Side of Life pin. And we are so proud of her. And in addition to that, two nights ago, we found out we won a car in a charity raffle. All good things for hospice home care.
You buried the lead there. You won a car.
We did.
Wow.
But we're just so proud of Kirsten and the Bright Side of Life, and we wanted to call in for her program. We listen every week from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hooray! Thank you for that.
Man, I never win anything, let alone something as cool as a car.
I was going to say, we'll give you some Bright Side of Life pins, but I think they probably already have some. They know the people that make the dang thing. Dr. Christine, you're on WGN. Christine, why are you smiling today?
Because I won the Hamilton lottery tickets yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I got fabulous seats. They were $192 tickets for
$10.
What? Thanks, Christine. Congrats. Read another one for us.
847, their bright side is listening to John triangulate the temperature and Steve's dislike for it.
It's really the only reason I do it, to be honest with you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Hey, Michelle, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Michelle? You're on the air.
I just heard that in October is our 30th high school reunion, and I'm excited to see everybody.
I think reunions are funny things these days with Facebook, but you're pretty jazzed about it, right?
Yes, I am super excited. I can't believe it's been 30 years.
I know. That's the glasses half full, my friend. Thanks for the call.
Time flies when there's a bright side.
I know. And by the way, Don, jump in there, Don. I think a lot of people agree with Don. Don, what's your bright side, sir?
Hello, King John. Well, I got two. The first one is I saw the White Sox win last night in Comiskey Park, so that was sweet. And the second one is high school football starts tonight, and I get to announce the Coal City Coalers.
Who are the Coalers taking on out there in Grundy County?
It is the Pop scrimmage tonight, so everybody brings Pop and Gatorade and stuff to last them through the season, and they scrimmage off against each other. And next week we start for real against the Morris Redskins in Morris, Illinois.
Don, you do a great job. Good luck. Be listening to him. He's the voice of the Coalers. What have you got?
708, going to City Winery to see E Street Band's great drummer Mighty Max Weinberg, as Springsteen calls him.
Oh, no kidding, really? They get a good lineup over there. I've heard some pretty good names coming out of that place. How about Mary on line 9? Mary, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Mary?
I'm smiling because I went to Northwestern Hospital on Tuesday, and I had a great doctor's appointment. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, all of that is good. You know, when you've got your health, you have something. That's a good thing.
I think probably the most important thing.
Amen to that. Any last ones from you before we go?
I have a good one. 847, hi, King John. Smiling because we're heading up to Wisconsin Dells tomorrow to celebrate the 45th wedding anniversary at Ishnala.
Oh, no kidding. How about that? Props to the Ishnala Supper Club. Mm-hmm. By the way, we just didn't get to as many calls as we'd like to. Elif, the remaining calls on hold, let's give them Bright Side of Life pins because I forgot to award them. So hold on. Elif will make sure that we get you a Bright Side of Life pin, courtesy of the folks at the Joint Relief Institute.
And also our Facebook winners are Kathleen, Laura, and Marty.
Thank you all. Okay, we'll pause here, head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, find the stories that matter. Kim will do that. We'll check in with Ro and Anna, too. Ro Khan, Anna DeVlantis, I think, are in Studio A. Hi, guys.
Oh, we are. Perfectly timed, John.
Hey, Mr. Khan.
How was that?
Hi, John.
Things couldn't be better, John.
Hey, can I give a quick plug for my show tomorrow?
Sure.
You know, they got that Princeton Review. It's the summary of 368 colleges and universities.
Yes.
And they rank them on all sorts of things. We were talking about that with you the other day.
Right. Yeah.
They're coming on with us tomorrow morning at 10:30.
Oh,
we'll talk about the whole laundry list of Illinois schools and schools in the Midwest. If your kids are thinking about going away to school, maybe they're there now. How do they stack up? We'll talk about that at 10:35 tomorrow morning.
Just want to say the fourth best athletic facility in the country is at Denison University. That's no big deal.
Fourth best athletics, did you say?
Athletic facilities.
Oh.
Go Big Red.
Yeah, go Big Red.
Didn't say that the teams were good.
Said no,
that
that's what I was checking.
Well, the swim team's good.
They have a nice facility?
They have a beautiful facility. And the lacrosse team's pretty good, too.
How did you end up going there? What was the draw?
It was their acceptance of me. I think that was the biggest draw.
Don't beat around the bush.
I think it was when they said yes. I said, okay, yeah, when I'm can
there.
I be there?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, right, exactly.
Are you sure?
Yeah. But you know what? But then my daughter went there.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So
and she loved
it's,
it.
It's, I mean, it's great. It's an amazing school.
How much pressure comes with that? For her, I mean, like,
none.
Did you say...
She chose it.
Really?
Yeah, she said, I don't want to go there, and she didn't want to see it. And then her senior year, we'd been, you know, we'd done, you know, you take that trip to the East Coast, and you look at everything, and mm-hmm. you do all the stuff. You're driving, we drove around the Midwest looking at state schools.
Which is really fun.
Yeah, and she just couldn't decide anything. And she had some college counselor say to her, what about Denison? She goes, oh, my dad went there. I don't want to go. Go see it. She saw it. And she fell in love with it. It's really hard not to fall in love with the campus itself. And then it was, you know, and she stayed there during the summers.
Wow.
She liked it that much.
Either she hated me or liked it.
It's got to be one of the two.
One or the other.